Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And I'm sitting here at my bright red desk with a beautiful breeze coming in the window. Yay, we love the breeze. No air conditioning. And my job every week is to talk to you about what's going to happen in the week ahead so you can anticipate how to work with it and kind of figure out what you want to do with the energy. And then at some point in the show, we take callers and letters from readers who have written in and asked questions. And then we also hopefully have a little brief astrology lesson where you learn a little bit about the wonderful cosmic science that takes place above our heads every day that tells us what to watch for here on Earth down below. So one of the things that astrologers have noticed is when certain planets do certain things, there seems to be a correspondence. Now, we don't actually know that how it works. We do know that the sun affects the growing seasons on Earth and whether we wear a coat in the winter or sweat in the summer. And then we know the moon affects the tides in and out and, you know, is very tied into the biorhythms and the creative cycle. And the other planets all seem to have a job, too. So we watch them and we say, gee, wow, what are you doing today? And they tell us, and they tell us what section of the sky they're in, and we know, oh, when you're in that section, that means this behavior kind of happens. So we kind of correlate that, and then we come up with a vision of what's going to happen here on Earth. Now, one of the things that's been going on and getting a lot of press in the astrological community, if you read the internet and you Google T-square, or you Google cardinal cross, or you Google cardinal climax, summer 2010, you'll know that this next week is when it happens, okay? So this is what we've been building to. This is what the Mel Gibsons of the world have been waiting for, because this is when the energy climaxes this week, when we actually reach our climax, and we go, oh, my God, this is what it was for? And the energy peaks, which means it literally peaks. We'll really feel a shift. We won't feel nearly so crotchety, irritated, and annoyed like we've been feeling all week. Will feel like, oh, thank heavens, if there's something going to happen, it will happen this week, because this is the week of decisions. Now, you know, you've got a situation going on somewhere in your chart where you're basically having Mel Gibson acting up. Or, you know, if you prefer, you can do the Runaway General, or you can do the Shirley Sherwood, the woman who got yelled at for saying she didn't want to help the white guy. The blogosphere people, the wiki guys publishing 19,000 pages on the war, all that stuff is Jupiter in Uranus joined in Aries. So those two fellas are really causing a little bit of a stir somewhere in your chart. And somewhere in your chart, somebody's really shouting and screaming and yelling and being very rebellious or very crazy or very out of control. Now, it could be your brother, it could be your mother, it could be your dog, somebody. In my sister's case, it's her cat. She's got a crazy cat pooping all over the house, drives her crazy. In my case, it's been checking my bank account. I had somebody do some fraudulent stuff with it. Everybody's got it going someplace, all right? So your job is to figure out where it's happening in your chart. This week, the police come along, okay? And the cops come along, and they come to help Saturn corral this bad behavior and stop it. Because Saturn's been sitting over there on the opposite side of the chart saying, I'm not really 100% sure how to take care of this situation. You know, I don't really quite know what to do. This week he gets reinforcements. He gets two reinforcements, actually. He gets Mars and he gets Venus. So they both come along and they join with him. And they say, okay, big guy, we're here to help. How can we help? And then what it does is it basically stimulates, because two new planets coming along and setting off one leg of the T-square, stimulates the other. So imagine, if you will, those crib mobiles. You know, when you have a little baby and the mobile is over the crib and it kind of hangs, and then when you whack it, one arm of it, the whole thing goes crazy? Well, that's what's happening this week. Mars is coming to whack Saturn, and then he's going to whack Pluto, and then he's going to whack Uranus, and then Venus is coming to whack them. And so everybody's going to be jumping around and screaming and yelling. And when does this action happen? Well, it happens between the 2nd to the 8th. So today's the 1st. So it essentially starts tomorrow. The other thing we have this week is we have Jupiter, who is in the sky, and he's been fighting with Pluto for a while, and he has a big fight with him this week. And so he's going to have a fight, and that happens on Tuesday. So we've got something that's going to happen on Tuesday that's going to get everybody all excited, Monday, Tuesday, that's going to get everybody all excited, and then they're all going to take kind of crazy action on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then Venus comes along, and she stirs the pot on Saturday, Sunday, and then we have a new moon in Leo on Monday the 9th, all right? So we've got a week of a lot of activity, and even though it's the middle of the summer, you're going to be finding you're really going to feel that the tensions that have been building over the last few weeks really come to a head this week. And you get to make a decision after this week on the new moon next week, the 9th. So on the new moon, you're going to be clear. You're going to have a lot of information. You're going to be really clear about what's going on. Venus and Mars are both joining with Saturn. Saturn's going to be talking to them. You're going to get advice on what's going on in the heavens and what's going on in your chart, and that little crazy Mel Gibson part of your chart will be addressed in a new way. So the craziness gets kind of, I don't want to say stomped on, but it gets kind of corralled. It gets corralled, or it gets activated. It can go both ways. So in some cases, it's going to be corralled. So like if you've, you know, been doing a crazy, you know, crazy drugs and wild out of control, this will be when the cops pull you over. If this is when you've been trying to decide if you're going to break up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, this is the week you're going to make the decision. If you've been thinking about leaving your job and saying, you know, I got to go, this is the week you'll know what you're doing. It's a very, very big week. It's one of the biggest weeks in the history of your life, for lack of a better word. The last 2 weeks, last week, this week, next week. So what we're doing is we're at this giant cosmic crossroads where we have essentially a pile of planets arguing with each other. And they're having a big fight. So when they have a big fight in the heavens, we have a big fight down here on Earth someplace. So it's very possible there'll be some kind of warlike activity because the planet Mars, which is the planet of war, is squaring Pluto, taking action and wanting to pick a fight. Mars is also fighting with Jupiter, saying to Jupiter, you know I've been saying I'm going to get along with you, but now I want to whack you one. And he also is fighting in the sky. He's just kind of in the mood to be irritated and irritable because he's in a sign he hates. And so the planet of war is not a happy guy right now. So we're all feeling a little extra warlike, or maybe a little extra irritated, or maybe a little extra passive-aggressive. I've noticed passive-aggressive a lot myself, where they kind of go, and you're like, no, I don't really want to. Or, well, me, you know, you kind of get that weird thing where you really can't say no, but you know you want to, or they're kind of just doing strange things. So your job is to sit and to say, okay, I'm at a crossroads. I got another week and a half of this stuff going on. And I will know by the end of the next week, maybe even sooner, you may know before then, what action I'm going to take towards my greater good and my higher power. Now, why do we have aspects like this happen in the heavens? Well, we have them for a few reasons. One, because we need to make a change. And humans are notably resistant to changing unless they absolutely have to. You know, you eat and eat and eat, and then your pants don't fit, and you go, okay, I need to make a change in my food so I can lose some weight. Or you do something over and over again, and then eventually you just get so irritated or so annoyed with it that you go, you know what, I got to change it. So this is the week of change, too. That's the other part of this week. It's got a really positive energy towards change. It's got a great idea. It says, let's move towards the new vision because the old life isn't working or the old thing isn't right. And so you want to release the old thing and get ready to go into the new direction. So it's very, very much a moment of choice. Now, once you make the choice, then you have to implement it, which is the next part. And that's the part that takes place as Saturn goes through Libra. Because the other thing that's happening is we're having major cycles end. We're having a 248-year cycle end. We're having an 84-year cycle end. We're having a 50-year cycle end. We're having a 30-year cycle end. We're having a 12-year cycle end. And then next February, we're having a 164-year cycle end. So that's a lot of endings. So when there's a lot of endings, right on the heels of the endings are all the new beginnings. So the other part is, while it can feel like there's a lot of stuff ending this week, what it's really doing is getting you ready for the new things that are going to be coming in next week, okay, or the next month, or over the next course of the next year, with the idea being building the best structure in your life. Now, Saturn in Libra is going to be in Libra for 2 years, till fall of 2012. Going to be in there 2 years till next September, 2 years out. And he is saying to everybody, okay, you're now a grown-up. As a grown-up, you have to look at your life and make grown-up decisions. Now, there will be people that will be kicking and screaming and will not want to make grown-up decisions. And that's totally okay. They don't have to. Not your problem. But your job is to be the grown-up and to say, I'm making a grown-up decision, and this is how I'm going to handle it. This is what my plan is. This is my direction I'm heading. Okay? If you do that, it works really, really well. If you don't do that, there will be problems. So I encourage you very much to really be very serious about where it is you feel a little bit overwhelmed, or you feel a little like a five-year-old, or you feel a little like, oh, my God, they're going to catch me, and I don't really know what I'm doing, that whole worry thing. And I want you to sit down and hold that part of your body, or hold that hand, hold the hand of the worry, and say to it, it's going to be okay. What we have to do is small, tiny steps towards the new life. That's what we're doing, small, tiny steps. Rome wasn't built in a day. This isn't going to be built in a day, but we have to start moving now. And we're actually going to start moving next week. This week is really the week where everything kind of falls apart. And if you know it's going to fall apart, you don't get so freaked out. You just say, oh, here it is. There's that fall apart thing she was talking about on the radio on Sunday. I didn't realize that this was what she was talking about falling apart, but now that it's fallen apart, I guess I kind of have been watching it start to fall apart over the last couple weeks, haven't I? Because you've been watching this get ready to go. You've been watching this get ready to fall apart. There's a part of your chart that knows that you're not going back to the old way. That on some level, because you mentally committed to the new direction, because that's what you've been doing since the beginning of June, you've been aware that you want to go in a new direction. Now it's like, okay, how do I go forward towards it? Because the old way isn't working. And that's what happens. We grow in our life. And we get to a point where the old way isn't working, and we have to change and go to the new way. And that's the road, that's the point we're at right now. So it's not a bad thing, but it is a scary thing, because it does feel a little bit like out of control. And whatever the events are that are going to happen in the world this week are going to be pretty dramatic. We're going to really look at the world in a whole new way. We're going to see it slightly differently than we did before. Because the other thing that's happening is Mars is triggering the degrees of the eclipses from June and July, when things came to light, and he's saying, okay, now we have to take action on them, and we actually have to do something about it. And so he is a trigger planet. He says, time to go forward. And right behind him is Venus saying, this is the path, this is the direction, this is where we're going. But first, the trigger, first the explosion, first the change, then the, okay, now we're actually ready to rebuild, regrow, move in new directions. Major, major week, okay? And there's been many, many pages, thousands of words written about it on the internet, and, you know, I've written my share. And as we're sitting here right at the edge of it, I'm kind of like, okay, this is the roller coaster we've been waiting for. I hope it's not counterproductive. I hope it's not anticlimactic. You know, we've been waiting, and it's here, and it's Mars, and it's Pluto, and it's Uranus, and everybody's going to get triggered, and oh, how cool is that? And then we go, okay, ready, let's go, we're ready, because we are ready. And there is the transformation. And it's understanding that transformation, it's time, it's needed, we are really ready for it. And we're all going to be okay on the other side of it. And this is the week, okay? So we start the week, Monday the 2nd, has the moon in Taurus. Moon in Taurus is exalted, it loves to be in Taurus, and its closing aspect is a square to Neptune. So there's an illusional energy that goes on with this. in the Moon trines Pluto and Mercury on Monday, saying, okay, let's get ready and let's create. And then on Tuesday morning, bright and early, 4:03 Eastern time, so it's actually going to happen overseas. The event will take place somewhere far away from us, far away from the United States. It'll be over in the other part of the world where they're having daylight already. We'll have some kind of, we'll wake up to it Tuesday morning, and Jupiter will have squared Saturn, and we will have had some event happen. Now, you know, people go, well, you know, it's like, I don't really know what the event's going to be, but I'm really curious. I'm really curious, and I'm watching and waiting to see. And so that happens Tuesday, and then the world reacts on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Okay, so whatever happens Monday, Tuesday, the rest of us react to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And Wednesday, Mars goes into Gemini in the afternoon, and he's highly, highly active that day. He opposes Jupiter, he squares Pluto, and he triggers a whole bunch of behaviors or a whole bunch of events. Because remember, he is a trigger planet. Then on Thursday, we process. On Friday, we trigger again. Because Venus goes into Cancer late at night, goes into Libra late at night, after all the planets get triggered one more time by the Moon in Gemini, which is, should I do this, should I do that, should I do this, should I do that? And then Saturday, Sunday, Venus triggers the same planets that Mars triggered, and she does it on Saturday and Sunday. So it should be a big weekend, too, the weekend of the 7th and 8th. And then we have a new moon on the 9th, which says, okay, we're through the most of it, and then we have Venus triggering Jupiter and Pluto and Neptune Moon triggering Neptune on the 10th. So we basically, we're in this till the 10th, 11th in there. Now Uranus is stationing, moving backwards on the world axis. So this is a worldwide event of some kind of communication piece too, because it's Uranus is communication. And it's in Aries, so it's fast moving. So whatever it is, going to be real fast moving. Jupiter's in Aries too. Makes it really speedy, speedy, speedy. So it's speedy, speedy, fast-moving, volatile, kind of like a fire almost, where you just kind of go, wow, that took off, didn't it? Then Pluto's in Capricorn, so he's saying, let's change the Earth. Let's, you know, the Earth is going to be adjusted. The structures are going to be adjusted. The vision of how this can take place is going to be changed. And then who am I missing? Saturn. Oh, we're going to revise what the vision is of how it's going to happen, because Mars is going to come and set Saturn off and say, okay, let's start a new two-year cycle about the structure. So the last time Mars joined with Saturn was in Virgo, which is a working aspect. Mars doesn't really particularly like being in Libra, but Saturn does like being in Libra. So Saturn's reasonably happy, and Mars is not happy. Both of them right now, unfortunately, are answering to Venus, who's in an unhappy sign. She's in Virgo. She doesn't like being in Virgo. She's a little fussy, and she's a little bit of a worrywart. So she's in Virgo during this transition taking place, kind of an unhappy placement. And then she shifts out of that into Libra over the weekend and says, okay, let's look at what actually happened. So your job is to really just hang on tight and to not take action if you don't have to. Obviously, if you need to do something, do it. But if you don't, just focus. Focus on the energy. Focus on where you're going. Don't worry about it. So the moon in Taurus, Monday, Tuesday, has nice closing aspects of a square to Neptune. So that kind of says everybody's going, emotional closing aspects of a square to Neptune. Then she goes into Gemini on the 4th and the 5th and leaves it in the 6th with a trine to Neptune. So the big hot day is Wednesday, the 4th. Then she goes into Cancer in the afternoon, on Friday the afternoon, and then she's in Cancer all day Saturday till noon, and the closing aspect there is a sextile to Mercury. So that's kind of calming words. And then she goes into Leo, and the closing aspect for that is an opposition to Neptune. Again, emotional, highly emotional. It's a lot of emotion in this week. So when we see this much emotion, we know that people are going to be really emotional. And with Mars, they're going to feel the need to take action, even if they don't necessarily know where they're going or what they're doing. And they're not necessarily going to take action in the best way. but they're going to feel the desire to do something because they can't just sit there. So that's the other part, is you can sit there. It'll be over next week. And if you sit, that's okay, because you're really in the mode of, okay, I'm paying attention, I'm sitting here, but what actually is really happening around me? I don't know. Let me wait until I have more information. Okay? So that's the focus for the week. The energy is hot. The energy is high. There also are a couple of outer planets that are involved, which indicate that it'll go really fast. There also is some kind of really funky health aspect. I'm not quite sure what this is, but there's a big thing with health running around in the heavens, too. Very active. Hygieia is very active and normally isn't. Astraea is very active. Astraea as in astringence. So there can be an astringic feeling to this, meaning a little bit of a tingly, ooh, that kind of hurt a little, that kind of burned a little. And also Ceres stations in the middle of all this. She stations to go direct on August 8th. So Mother Earth is going to be moving forward. So, I don't know. I'm looking at it and going, never seen aspects like this before. Looking forward to finding out what's going to happen after all this thinking about it and worrying about it and writing about it. And what are the changes? What are the changes that we're going to experience? So we are in the middle of a very big, very big moment, okay? And just remember, if you're feeling really stressed, that's probably right about where you're supposed to be, because it's a stressful energy too. All right, so the call-in number is 347-215-7467. Again, 347-215-7467. Now let's talk about energy systems and kind of how they work, all right? What happens with charts or what happens with people is we look at, and remember, when you call in, press 1 to indicate that you want to be called on. If you don't press 1, you don't raise your little red hand, and I don't call on you. So if you haven't pressed 1, I'm not going to call on you. You can call in and you'll just sit in a line. All right, so if we look at the chart for the energy, the other thing we watch as astrologers is we watch when the eclipses get triggered, the eclipse points get triggered. Excuse me. And this particular one is Mars is triggering the eclipse point. He's squaring the eclipse from June 26th, which means the information and the story that went on in June 26th will be back up. You'll get more information about it. And you will also then have a repeat energy of the story that went on July 11th. Now, in my case, you know, I've taught and spoken for the last few years at a bookstore downtown at East West. So I had someone come the other day for a reading, like yesterday, and they said, oh, well, I heard bop, 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 bop. And I'm like, really? I hadn't heard that. You know, so I'm getting information about the place I used to work or I used to teach or speak or whatever you want to say. So you can also hear information about the place or the situation from June, July that went on in your life too, because the tension from then gets resolved now. So I have one client who had an offer on her house and this week made an offer on an apartment. So she's ready to now sell, but we'll find out if her buyer still wants to buy. It's that kind of stuff where you started something. You weren't really ready to go forward in June and July, but you went forward anyway. And now we actually find out what it's for. And I'm working on a book. So I was talking to the person who I was working on the book with, and we've had a little trouble getting together. Just, you know, life's been busy and kind of crazy. And it's like, okay, we actually figured it out, and we're settling down and doing it. So it's understanding that we're all now ready to move forward and ready to go forward into a new direction with our new energy, right? Because the energy is really very powerful right now about helping us move towards what we want. And it is kind of like a giant seesaw in the sky, with Pluto as the transformation agent standing at the pivot point of the seesaw. So we've got Mars, Saturn, Vesta, Venus, Mercury shaking on one side, and then we have Jupiter and Neptune, we have Jupiter, Uranus, Chiron, and Neptune shaking on the other side. And they're kind of pivoting around Pluto, okay, with the idea being, wow, pivot, pivot, wow, pivot, pivot. Kind of a wild merry-go-round. So that's the energy. And your job is to say, am I Mel Gibson, screaming, yelling, ranting, and raving, or is there a Mel Gibson in my chart that I want to say, stop, Mel, stop? Am I really ready to structure and partner and work with myself and create what I want to do, Saturn in Libra? And how am I transforming myself? Now, remember, everybody that comes into your life, regardless the role they're playing, acts as a planet. So figure out who's the Pluto, who's the power, who's the place you can go and triangulate with. Maybe you're the Pluto and you're going to be asked to solve a problem. Who's the one that's looking to partner and create and relate and build something? Who's the one that's freaking out and running away and saying, oh my God, I can't do this. I just can't. I'm too scared. I'm not feeling brave. Because remember, Aries wants to be brave, but it isn't always brave. That's what it's learning how to do in this lifetime. You know, people always go, but they're in Aries. They're supposed to be brave. It's like, no, they're learning to be brave. They aren't brave naturally. They make themselves do things just to prove they're brave, but they really aren't a brave sign. So it's understanding we're in this big mix, and your job is to say, who's the crazy person doing Mel Gibson? Who is the Osanka saying, Mel, you are crazy, man. Don't you are mean. You hit me with baby. Who is the cops investigating? Who's playing the role of the police or the authorities that can transform the situation? You can do all three roles. You do not have to give these roles over to anybody else. You can do them all in your own life. There's a place that needs to be transformed. There's a place where you need to be structured and being a good girl and following the rules, or a good boy and following the rules and doing your work. And there's a place where you're wild and crazy. And you need to be kind of wild and crazy and just give your inner Mel Gibson an opportunity to roar. So that's it's hard, but it's easy when you just know that that's what's happening. And it will be over next week. That's the nice part. It will start to separate. It'll feel a lot better. You're not going to feel so cranky. And everybody's in a much happier place. All right, so we'll take a caller. 585, press the 1 button and raise their hand. 914, you haven't raised your hand, so I'm not going to call on you. All right. Hi, 585. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's Aeolia calling from Rochester.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks, Anne. 214-1951.
Okay, wait 1 second.
Uh-huh. 9:06 a.m. Central Standard, Evergreen Park, Illinois.
Okay, and what's the question?
Well, I'm in the midst of my second Saturn return, and my Saturn's at, 1 degree?
One
of Libra. And so all this is happening, and I am certainly feeling the tension, especially the last week or two, but it's like I'm sitting in the eye of the storm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything you can, any light you can shed on what's being triggered in my chart by the heavens would be most appreciated.
Okay. Well, I do think a good analogy is sitting in the eye of the storm, you know, and one of the things we realize when we are in the eye of the storm is that it will be over at some point. And for you, it should be like the first week in September when Saturn finishes its square to your Uranus. So right now he's on your Saturn, Saturn return's happening, and you natally have a T-square with in your chart. So because there's a T-square in the heavens, your T-square is active.
Right.
And, you know, so it's a combination of the Uranus in the third, which is changing how you think about things, and Saturn in the sixth, which is changing your habits and changing your approaches to things. And Chiron in the ninth, which is saying, if you do that, then there'll be some kind of healing opportunity. There's an understanding that the words that are being spoken right now maybe aren't the easiest ones to hear, but that you're in the mood now to change things in a way you hadn't been before. And so Saturn in the sixth also can show as health stuff. So, you know, you want to just be aware you might be a little more tired than normal, or you might be feeling a little more issues around health or feeling a little less energetic than normal. And you're also having Mars and Venus on coming to that Saturn this week. So there's a lot of activity. So it could be, you know, workplace, employees, things with your pets, changes in your daily routines and your habits. And then when Saturn gets to five, he finishes with this, which is the first week in September, second week in September. when he squares your Uranus. But for you, it's bringing up the story of 1 1/4 to 5 3/4. What went on in your family then, especially around your dad, or around his work and your understanding of his work, or your mother's communication. So think back on parents' story, because Saturn for you is a career planet too. He rules your midheaven.
Right.
So think back on what you remember of that time and how does it correlate to now, because what's really happening is kind of a cleansing of that energy through your own body, through your own work. So this also will be a very vivid dream time for you, because Mars and Venus are joining in your sixth house. So if you find yourself kind of transported by dreams, daydreams, because natally you have Mars and Venus in the 12th, totally good time to kind of drift and see what comes in. You know, just give the mind permission to give you information. With the eclipses being triggered, you know, the one eclipse had a bunch of stuff at 19 Cancer, the one on July 11th. So
right.
The story from July 11th will be back up again, too, because that one was on your Athena, saying to you, opposite your Athena, in your fourth house, kind of stirring up the home story. And the eclipse from June 26th is active, and that one was something around communications or maybe with a sibling. So for you, the Eye of the Storm is a great analogy. Just kind of say, I'm in the Eye of the Storm. If I need to go out, I can. But really what I'm supposed to do is just sit and think. And if I think, it will clear, because it will clear pretty quick. And just take the information you get, especially if there's changes in the work environment, and just kind of say, okay, that's good. Now, how does that trigger my fear, my anxiety, or my desire to partner and shift it into something else? So it's a big time. That Saturn's getting hammered this week because he's got Mars on it at the same time that Mars is opposing the Jupiter and squaring the Pluto. But I think the other part of it is saying, what's the right word for it? Is saying it's transformation time, because your T-square that you natally have is the same T-square that's taking, it's two of the three legs that's in the T-square in the heavens. So for you, this is really pivotal. It's a pivotal week. Yeah.
And one other quick question. This weekend I am taking a workshop, like from Friday night all the way through Sunday, on Qigong healing. And it feels really big. Like, I've been wanting to study with this woman for a while. I've gotten healing treatments from her in the past. Do you see any potential for that to turn into?
Well, yeah, because that's this weekend coming. That's the weekend of the 7th and the 8th. So Venus, Mars will have triggered all that this week. And then Venus comes along in there opposite it and kind of says, okay, let's transform and heal. And I think of Qigong as having a spiritual component to it, because you're really working with energies that are beyond your body.
Right.
You know, you pull up energies and kind of allow them to work in your body by letting them in, you know, in the sense of we have free will, so they can't enter us unless we ask for it. But Qigong is really working positively with energy. So I think it could be very transformative, especially with the Jupiter-Uranus in your 12th house, which is, you know, I would pay attention to your dreams. I would pay attention to the information you're getting from your guides. You know, if you hear things, I would pay attention to just that whole process of how do I integrate the change. And as the eclipse gets set off on the when Mars gets to 4, which is on Thursday, Friday,
right,
whatever the information is that comes in then, you want to say, oh, that's what this is. Because that's also tied somehow, you know, with Chiron in Capricorn in the 9th, there can be a bit of a dogmatic child rearing, where you weren't necessarily reared to think about, oh, let's understand other things. So as you go towards understanding new things, the fear can come up. So you might watch and see if you have a little fear kick right before you go on the week, or if you have some health thing kick that says to you, oh, maybe I shouldn't go, and I would go anyway. Because the Chiron is, the Chiron is also part of the T-square that's saying, I'm ready to heal. You know, and your work is in some capacity in healing because you have Saturn in the sixth and you have Chiron so high. So we always have to heal ourselves before we move forward.
Right. And so, you know, is there a potential there for this to be become my work?
Yeah, there is. I think, you know, your work should have been stuff that's been laid out a bit for a while now. You know, you've been, you know, as Saturn rises through the chart, when he's in the sixth house, you're essentially doing your apprenticeship. So I think, you know, you have a general interest in healing anyway with the health planets you have in the south known in Virgo. But I think it's really more tied to your spiritual path than to actual work. I mean, it may very well be something you do for your work. Ultimately, but I think it's tied more to spiritual path because of the triggering of the nodes. And the node for you goes from the physical grounded reality into the spiritual realm, and how do you explain what this is? And that I think is the more important part, is opening up to what that means. You know, how do you get into that opening? How do you step in through that opening into the area you're supposed to go? So I think the Qigong will be an invitation to step in. And then as Saturn continues to work in your sixth house, we'll see where you grow and what comes to you as the new work. Because Saturn through the sixth, very often we are learning new work that becomes part of our path. And because you are having your Saturn return, Saturn rules your midheaven, it can be a new component to your existing career, certainly, you know, as something. But I think it's also for you, it's more of a spiritual connection. Just because of the nodes being triggered, and they're both at 19. And that node earlier was in Cancer in the fourth house. So I think it's really the node from the eclipse was at 19 Cancer. So I'm thinking, or the degrees of the eclipse were at 19 Cancer, and they were trining the moon, trining the north, trining the Mars. So I think it'll be fun. I say go for it and have a good time.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good. All right. Take care. Keep me posted.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. All right. Hi. Try and get 718. 718, yep. You there?
Me?
You're on the air. Can I help?
Hello, Anne. Good evening. Yes, you may. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Okay.
This is Anna from New York.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke with you before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need the whole correlates thing. October 23rd. 1955,
mm-hmm.
BEJA, Portugal.
What time?
9:14 a.m.
Oops, you can hear my computer has new music.
It's okay.
Yeah. All right, 9:14. That's what happens when I make a typo. It's like a new, I like the background, but it's very scary music for making a typo. 9:14 a.m., what's the name of the town?
BEJA.
BEJA in
mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico. Portugal, okay.
Way down there or up there, wherever.
All right, and what was your question, Anna?
Okay, Anne. My question is, are there any indications as to me getting unstuck, like out of this catatonic state I'm in?
Out of the
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going. Talk to me.
Okay, here's the deal. I've been unemployed since like April.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even depressed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I just fell into like this hazy state. And I've noticed that I have like a bunch of Neptunian transits going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's that, but, you know, it's also like, I heard you, I learned a lot from you. And you had mentioned all the stuff that went back to 92 with the
mm-hmm.
eclipses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like a replay of what went on then is going on now.
Right.
Where
right.
everything was just like obliterated. It's like, pew, back to zero again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you have a Scorpio rising,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't have to be this way, but one of the things that can happen with Scorpio risings is they feel like everything has to die to be reborn again, you know, And I'm always a firm believer in saying, well, not everything has to die. You don't have to kill off the whole world. But the energy of the Neptune is very, very strong in your chart, all right? Because Neptune right now is in the late degrees of Aquarius. And he is trining your Sun Neptune, right? So mm-hmm. one of the things you have naturally a tendency towards with the Sun Neptune is a very strong spirituality, right?
Yes.
And you also have a very strong tendency to let everything dissolve and disappear because
mm-hmm.
you're basically, your Sun is joined to the god of the ocean, right? And so when you're in a state where you're releasing, you can really just let everything release, you know, dissolve, 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 whether you necessarily want to or not is another question. So you've got Neptune.
Well, a lot of it is just like totally beyond my power to do anything about, seriously, because it's just stuff that, you know, I mean, I was laid off. I didn't exactly ask for it, you know what I mean?
No, I know. I'm not saying, not in a blaming way, but I'm just saying that you were laid off, totally. But Neptune to the Sun also says, that means that I'm starting a dissolution process. It's almost like, you know how we have habits, you know, like when you get up in the morning and you brush your teeth and you wash your face and you have a little routine that you do in a certain row.
Mm-hmm.
Your chart has a certain thing that it does when things are ending. Everybody has a pattern in their chart. So your chart, when things end, it goes, okay, things are ending. I just got laid off from my work. Now I can proceed to dissolve because I got that ended, so now let me dissolve. And normally that's okay, except now you've got an extra little kicker in there. You've got an extra Neptune, meaning Neptune in the sky is opposite your Jupiter-Pluto, and he's trining your Neptune-Sun. So part of your chart almost says, I want to be a spiritual person, and I really feel on some level I accumulate and then I release. I accumulate and then I release.
Yeah.
And you're also having Saturn coming to your Mars, which is your kind of mojo, right? Your Mars has been having Saturn approach it and saying, okay, let me give myself permission to take action. And because Saturn's been approaching it, you maybe haven't felt like you can really take action.
It's like being, you wake up in the morning like ready, you know, just to take on the world, and mm-hmm. a couple of hours later, it's like, oh my God, now what?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have the energy.
In a haze, total mm-hmm. haze.
Yeah, yeah. And that's Neptune. You know, Neptune
right.
is very hazy. You know, I have a good friend who's an astrologer in New York and a therapist, and she had said to me, she says, you know, Neptune transits, always everybody goes, oh, Neptune, you know, you're going to fall in love, it's going to be great. You know? And yes, that can happen, but you also can drift
mm-hmm.
because you're in the haze of Neptune. So in your case, when you get up in the morning, you know, Neptune comes in at 28, 29 in your chart. So you can do stuff for up till about 23 minutes, 24 minutes, and then you have to sit down. And then I would sit down for 10 or 15 minutes and then get yourself back up when 30 minutes have, you know, kind of start a clock and do 30-minute cycles because you're going to have this wave of Neptune come over you. But then once you sit back down, get back up after 28, 29. So if we look at your energy flow, you have a lot of energy at the beginning. You know, you hop out of bed, Uranus, your Mars is ready to go. You get some stuff accomplished, you know, with Venus and Mercury at 12 and 13.
Only in my head, though.
Right, but that's also, mm-hmm. that's also, you're not picking up the phone and doing, you know. And then once you get to 20, 22, you go, okay, I have to sit down now. And then it dissolves. And then once it dissolves, then say, okay, 30 is up. Let me get up and go again, right? Because the dissolving piece, Neptune wants to have time with you. That's part of what's going on here. So your job is to say, okay, I got a big Neptune transit, but I can float on the ocean. And if I do, that's certainly an option. You know, but then just don't do it with any blame. Just say, you know, I decided I wanted to float on the ocean and let everything dissolve again and then reground. Or you could say, I understand that I'm going to have to do Neptune because I'm having a huge Neptune transit and give myself time with Neptune every day. And maybe give myself 10, 15 minutes with Neptune every half hour. But the 15 minutes where I'm not Neptuned really push that time.
Mm.
And I would do it that way. I would really literally just get yourself a timer and do stuff for 15 minutes and then sit for 15 minutes. Because your chart can get a lot accomplished in that first 15 to 20 minutes, 0 to 20. Then you go into the Neptune land. And I tell you, you can do it, but you'll feel like you're adrift. So just sit down.
It's been something else. I mean, I start doing a job search and, you know, doing resume stuff and all that, and I find myself drifting into theosophy and metaphysics.
Right, which is totally
then,
cool.
And then it's okay because I don't even have to focus. I just take it in because, you know, I feel at home with that stuff.
I know, but then you have to say, okay, I did my little 15 minutes of theosophy, now I have to stop and now I have to go do my work again. And then I float into the 15. I mean, Neptune is, when he's active in your chart, and he's very active right now, but it's also, you know, there are the mundane things like paying the bills and doing that stuff.
Yeah.
That's part of life, and that part, you have. That's the front end of your chart, where you have to give that, say to the front end, okay, guys, let's go look for a job for 15 minutes, because I know in 15 minutes I'm going to want to go and do the drift. And if you can, you know, kind of do, you know how like when you're swimming in the, I don't know, I've got a place in Fire Island that I go to in the week, and you go, you know, you get in the water and you drift down the shore, right? You know, you're kind of drifting away from your towel, and then you swim back, and then you drift back again, and then you swim back, and then you drift again. So it's got this whole, you know, swim, drift, and if you can do it in half-hour increments, that will help.
Okay.
And
so
really
I
be disciplined.
Have to let the lapses and focus, like, just ebb and tide kind of a day.
Yes, just say, give me 15 minutes of focus, and
out of it.
Then I give you 15 minutes of as much metaphysics as you want. Because your chart really wants to do the metaphysics, totally.
Yeah.
But you have to say, to get to the metaphysics, you have to do 15 minutes of looking for work. And then 15 minutes of metaphysics, 15 minutes, and just to get a timer and divide it.
I'm really going to do that.
Try it. I think you'll find it really helps because your body really wants to do the metaphysics, but we still have to keep house and home over our head.
Yeah, I know, and it's really getting really, like, last minute now.
Yeah.
But, and do you see anything, like, good coming up in terms of job?
I think you can have a job by September when Saturn gets to your Mars. That's a nice time for a new job start. It kind of shows you getting back out of the house again, and Mars is the co-ruler of your money from other people, and you being able to go out in the world on a different level.
Is that because Saturn will be leaving my 10th house and going into my 11th?
He's not going to be in your 11th for a while, and he's going to be back and forth in the 11th. So he's going to be off your Mars, though, which is that sense of feeling like you can't take action. You can get out again and feel like you're out in the world again once Saturn gets off your Mars, which is in the beginning of middle of September. So I would anticipate you'd have a job then. Let me look if there's something sooner. But that makes sense, you know, with interviewing and finding it, because summer's kind of a slow time to look. But you could find leads for the job in this next week or two. And I also, with your chart, I would go back and contact some of the people that you've worked with before, because you're having Mercury retrograde across the top of your chart. So you can go work for some of your older bosses or the people that you've worked with in other job situations.
Wish I could, but they're all gone.
They're all dead, or they're all...
Well, the businesses have been dissolved, and the one prior to that was with my ex, so that's totally out of the question.
Right. Well, are there any other employers that you've stayed in touch with that you could get in contact with, other coworkers who would help you?
No. Actually, the other part of this whole thing is that I have become, like, totally isolated because... Everyone, my family, everyone has moved out of New York.
Right. So you're here by yourself. Yeah, that's Neptune.
Yeah, so it's become like... But this has been like... I don't know if it's my chart. I don't know if it's... it's just the way my life has occurred. I don't know, you know. But
well, you just had a new moon.
Once in a while, everything just disappears. It just dissipates. Poof.
Well, I think that's the Scorpio rising. You know, Scorpio risings often feel that everything needs to disappear before they can be born again. So it doesn't have to disappear, but there's a quality of get rid of everything so a new life can come in. And I would say to you, that's one way it can show up, but it also can show up as, I don't really want to get rid of that piece. I'd like to keep this too. And giving those, you know, the things that you really truly love, keeping them around. But you just did start a new three-month cycle, a 30-year cycle, rather, around your work and your skills. So I think 25, 24, it's like 3 months, 2 months. 2 months is the up in conjunct. I think you can find something in the next month or so. So I would be, you know, but yes, part of the thing with Scorpio risings is that sense of everything has to end for them to be able to move forward. And, you know, when you get older, it's hard if everything ends because you're like, wait, don't all go. Mm-hmm. Don't all leave. So
Yeah.
So keep me posted. Let me know what happens. Mm-hmm. But I'd say go look. It looks like you've got some good job leads starting next week, particularly Thursday and Friday, the 12th and 13th.
And this thing with Neptune is not about to go anywhere soon, right?
No, you got it through next February, March. So you got to figure out how to work with it.
Yeah, to 2011. And
yeah, whatever. Well, the whole idea with Neptune is it's there, so you have to kind of figure out how to swim in the water.
Just one last thing. I did a little research, mm-hmm. and just so you can give me your take on it, And medical astrology, they recommended clematis. It's a back
mm-hmm.
remedy
mm-hmm.
for just this, you know, like the implied fogginess of a Neptunian transit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it works a little bit.
Well, I like the Bach flower remedies. I think they're pretty good. Yeah.
Do you know anything about this?
I don't know a whole lot. I've got a woman I refer people to when I need to do Bach flowers. But, yeah, they're very good, especially for Neptune transits, because they work on the subtle energetic bodies. But I know enough to know that they're alive. And a few of them I know, and I've used them when I was at certain points in my life. I've used them for certain situations. They're very helpful. And I also like the Alaskan flower remedies. But I don't know enough about them to talk about them knowledgeably. I would refer
I've seen a little improvement.
Yeah, well, good. We'll keep doing it. Yeah. All right. So keep me posted, okay. Anna. Okay. Hello, 646. How are you?
Hi. It's me?
Yep, you. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Liz.
Hi, Liz.
My information is August 14th, 1974
mm-hmm.
in Cleveland, Ohio at 5:50 p.m.
August 14th, 19 what again?
74.
Mm-hmm. At what time?
5:50 p.m.
And in Cleveland, Ohio, right?
Yes.
All right. And what's your question?
Well, I am in a new relationship, and you've been talking a lot about endings.
Mm-hmm.
And I made up my mind over this eclipse cycle that I did not want the relationship to end,
mm-hmm.
but I think he wants it to end.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering how to work with that energy.
Okay.
Because I've already made my decision, but it's been really tough, and I'm having a hard time with it emotionally.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the aspects are pretty big in your chart. I would say to you, you got a Capricorn rising, and you've got Saturn and Moon and Venus in the seventh. So part of what happens with your chart is figuring out what relationships are, okay? That's really the key. Is for you to say, well, my vision of a relationship that I want to keep looks like this. And I would ask you if you want to keep someone who's not wanting to be in a relationship with you. Because what you're doing then is you're keeping something that doesn't really work for you to grow. While you want it, yes, what's the vision? That's the key. This whole T-square is not so much about endings, but it's also about new beginnings of vision. And when we look at your chart, one of the things it says is the relationship that your parents had maybe wasn't one that was a good one, in the sense of you looked at that and you said, well, I don't know that I really want relationships like theirs.
Yeah.
But you didn't necessarily say what you did want relationships like. Mm. So rather than holding on to someone who may want to go, what I would do is I would sit down with your guides. And you would have made this decision on the eclipses, right, around the one around June 22nd, June 26th?
What happened around then is that I had questions and insecurities about the relationship. And,
uh-huh.
I mean, you can see that seventh house. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I panicked and he's sort of responding to my panic. He doesn't trust anymore what was happening between us. And I know why I panicked, and I know it wasn't really about him.
Right, it wasn't. It was your stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was my stuff, which is mm-hmm. intense and all being triggered now. So
right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So your job is to say, okay, what's my vision of what I want in relationship? And say to him, what's your vision of what you're looking for in a partner too? And here, you know, if we sit very clearly at this time and we say, my vision for myself is this, and you make a list of what you're really looking for, what would make you happy? Not tied to the other person, just tied to yourself. You got Capricorn in the first, and, you know, with the Venus and the Moon and the Saturn in the seventh, you look to the other to take care of you emotionally, which is okay because there was that absence. Or you take care of them because that was what you were told to do to get love. And now you're looking and you're saying, is this really working for me? What kind of relationship do I want? And you're about to have Saturn come to Pluto in September. Your Pluto's five. So in September, you're starting a new 30-year cycle around your definition of what relationship is. So I would really be very clear and say, you know what I really want in a relationship is bop, 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 and get crystal clear. Not what everybody else wants. Not everybody says it should be like, no, no, no. What does Liz want? What makes Liz happy? And if you can define it, that will help a lot to pull it in. It's like when we go shopping for shoes, we know we're looking for sandals and we know we're looking for green pumps. You have to know what you're looking for in a relationship. And what happens with your chart, because it's so Western, you've got so many planets over in house 7, 8, 9, you let other people define what you want. And this is the time with Pluto in your first house, especially over this next year, where the universe is going to say to you, I want you to define what you're looking for in partner. And the more you do that, the clearer you are, the easier that to find it will be. And so that's the real test with this. It's not whether they're staying or going. It's what does Liz want and what's Liz's vision for herself. That's the focus. And you are having great transits for a relationship because Saturn's coming to Pluto saying, I'm getting clear on what my dreams are for myself. And a lot of times when we're little, I know in my case, my parents were fire people. They fought a lot. Fire people like to fight. I'm an earth and water child. I always thought, oh, my God, that's love. That's scary. I like earth and water people because they get mellow. You hang out on the couch. You know, you eat good food. You go watch a movie. You roll around. Have a good time. No fighting, you know. it's cuddling instead. I had to get clear on what I wanted in relationship to be able to pull one in. Mm. And that's, you know, a lot of times we get raised with people that have a different definition, and we look at that definition, and your chart says Saturn, Venus, Moon. You went, I don't really want what they have. But I would say to you, what do you want? Do you actually have a clear list? And it's not, look, I don't want them to be cheap. I don't want them to be. Take the negative version and write the positive framing of it, meaning I want them to be generous. I want them to be interested in connecting on an emotional level. I want them to be, intelligent, because intelligence is important to you. I want them to be, you know, whatever the list is. It's not a huge list, but it's a clear list. And the clearer it is, the easier. You also have Venus at the last degree of Cancer, okay? So she is in a nice placement. She's in a nice house. Saturn by sign is in a nice house. He likes to be in Libra. And part of what you want is that stable kind of relationship. So I would really be clear with the universe that that's what you're looking for and what that shape is like. And that will help a lot in terms of retrieving it or getting it for yourself.
With this relationship, should I just sort of, you know, let the person go and
I would just
try
float.
To figure out my own stuff?
I would figure out your own stuff, and then I would float, because the floating
ascendant
piece...
Ascendant is conjunct mine, by the way, so every house of mine triggered by this cycle is the same in his chart.
Right, so he's also making big decisions about relationships, too.
Yeah.
So we're going to just say, we don't know. Is it good for us now? Do we like it? Yes. Let's stay. Is it not good for us now? Let's float. I'm like, wait until the fall, because Saturn coming to Pluto is the defining moment for you.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. I'll try to float till fall. Thanks
float
so
till
much,
September.
Dan.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. Bye. Okay, folks. So that's it for the show tonight. I know it went really fast. It always goes so damn fast. So anyway, this is the week of August 2nd, 2010. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer. Call if you have questions, write if you have questions, And look forward to catching you next week. Remember, we're floating this week and having a grand old time. Talk to you soon. Bye.